So go ahead and get started and call the roll if you would.
Chair Felber?
Here.
Vice Chair Aldano?
I'm here.
Hopita?
Here.
McDonald? Not here yet. Ross?
Here.
And Budding? Also not here yet.
Okay.
And then Marissa Aguayo staff and Jill Malin, Assistant City Attorney.
All right, and I don't see anybody for public comment, so I guess we can skip that. So, approval of the October 23rd meeting minutes. Comments or corrections or?
I would motion to accept them.
I'll second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I guess everybody approved, so meeting the minutes are accepted. So item two, consideration and potential action on the City Council referral regarding a potential charter amendment to remove the qualified elector requirement for service on city boards and commissions to allow all Chula Vista residents to serve. So it looks like there was some discussion on that last meeting, but I wasn't here, so.
There was. I can fill you in briefly if you'd like. I'm sorry, I don't think you were there.
No, I was here. Right. Yeah, I was
okay.
Going to ask.
Yeah. So this came from, as is indicated on the agenda, came from the City Council. And the specific referral that I got from the clerk was referral to the Charter Review Commission to analyze and draft for City Council consideration a charter amendment that would allow Chula Vista residents, not just qualified electors, to serve on city boards and commissions. So in the charter, section 6 right now, to serve on a board or commission, it calls for a qualified elector. Mm. Qualified elector requires citizenship. And so this proposed amendment would be a revision to the language that the commission would draft and present to the council to change that so that you don't have to be a resident to, you don't have to be a citizen to be on a board or commission, just a resident. The discussion, I'm sorry, just to complete my thought, the discussion last meeting was that the commission would like to hear from a representative from the HRC because that's where this generated initially. So I believe we have a member from the HRC here today, the Human Relations Commission, to kind of give some additional information to the commission prior to taking any action on this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Does qualified elector mean someone who's registered to vote?
Not necessarily.
No.
That would be a registered voter, but you have to be essentially have all of the criteria that would allow you to register to vote.
Yeah, the reason why I ask is that when I was reviewing the meeting that we held a couple of years ago, I thought I heard there that they either said or they implied that qualified meant registered to vote, but that's not true?
No, because there is a distinction there because you haven't actually taken the affirmative step to go down to the registrar and
Right. Register.
But a qualified elector essentially is the same thing except you haven't taken that final step. So you still have to be a citizen, you have to be 18 years old, you have to live in that jurisdiction.
Is there a definition for a Chula Vista resident?
So, no, there isn't. I shouldn't say there isn't. There is a definition, I believe, in the elections code, but generally what a resident is that you live, you have a residence, set place in the jurisdiction, so in the city, and you may go away, you may intend to come back. So the idea is that you always intend to come back.
So
to your place of residency.
Right.
So there isn't you have to live here.
So there's no minimal, like you have to be here six months,
one year.
Okay.
If I could. So just to give a little bit more context, so I don't know if you all are familiar with the work that the Human Relations Commission has been doing over the last 2 years or how we even got started.
I'm sorry, before you go on, could you just state for the record your name? And
sure. So I'm Paula Martinez Montes, and I'm the chair of the Human Relations Commission. So I think it would be helpful to kind of put it into a little bit more context. So the Human Relations, and I apologize, my voice is like on its last leg here. So 2 years ago, after we began to hear from community members that we, you know, that schools and through like parking lots, that there were a lot more anti-immigrant rhetoric. There was a lot more anti-immigrant rhetoric in our communities, and so as a result of that, the community came together. And began coming to city council meetings, and also began meeting with the Chula Vista mayor, Mary Salas, and several other council members to discuss what steps we could take as a city to make sure that we, you know, presented ourselves as a welcoming city, so that folks could feel safe here. Because it wasn't just about, like, you know, citizenship. It was also about, like, folks just being, you know, I look a certain way, so I'm thought of as an immigrant, and, you know, there were aggressions that were happening, but also, like, the main concern was that at the time there had been procedures or a way that the police interaction was traditionally taking place with individuals on the street, and so there was fear from community members that that the police could call ICE or, you know, report them to immigration, and so it was like the discussion around like sanctuary cities was really lifted up. Our council did not become a sanctuary, or didn't vote to become a sanctuary city. They became a welcoming city. And part of the task of our city has been, or that our commission has been tasked with, is to become a certified welcoming city, which means that, you know, it's not just by name, that we're taking steps to proactively welcome immigrants and refugees, and that we're incorporating them both new and old, right, into the community that is Chula Vista. And so that's been one element of the work that we've been doing. We did send off our certification to Welcoming America, which is the organization that, it's a rigorous process that the city, it's either a city, any government entity or an organization could go through to go through and really like dig deep into what the city is doing in terms of partnerships, in terms of policies and like institutionalized ways that we are welcoming immigrants. And so we went through that process. We're 7 points away. We just resubmitted that paperwork. There were a couple of things that we missed in the application. And we're very confident that within the end of the year, we're going to come back, hopefully, and be officially certified as a welcoming city. And so what that means is that it's not just steps that the city has already taken to be more welcoming and inclusive to our communities, that it's also ways that we can, you know, be better, that we're constantly thinking about ways that we bring in our immigrant communities and be more welcoming. So as a step, a further step, or taking that a step further, when there was a vacancy within our commission, and someone that is not a registered voter, that's the way that we were told, someone that is not a registered voter could not become, could not become part of the commission. And this has been something that we in the community have already seen. I come from community organizing, so I worked for many years with ACE, Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment, here in Chula Vista. And we do a lot of work in the community. Several years ago, we helped pass Measure P, I think it's what it is, the infrastructure bond a few years ago. And through that, we won a seat, essentially, for ACE to have a representative for that oversight committee. And we couldn't just, you know, our base is not just citizens. There's residents, there's DACA students that are also part of the base. And none of them, like, a lot of them could not be part of it because they were not registered voters. And so we see, From our commission's perspective, immigrants contribute a lot. I was undocumented myself for many years. I became and have always been what I would consider a positive contributor to my community. Have had a good perspective, I would say. Was a resident for many years, and I couldn't have served on a border commission. I was lucky enough to have found a path for citizenship, but there's many that don't. And so it's really allowing for those voices that have a different perspective than, you know, traditional, like, registered voters or citizens, to really fold them into, you know, what the decision-making process is at their cities and engage in that way. And so that's part of why we thought it was important to look at this charter amendment as a possibility for us to be more inclusive and more welcoming. And in terms of what, like, that definition is or who can serve on a border commission, it was our understanding that it's not just this, like, resident, anybody that can even come back. It would be someone, right, like, it's in our best interest that it's someone that lives in the city, contributes in the city, and have this, like, unique perspective to bring into, like, some of the work that we're doing and make recommendations to the city council from that perspective. And so, again, like, that definition would be up to the council with your recommendation as to what that is. It could be DACA students. It could be permanent residents. It could be, you know, there could not be a requirement for immigration status at all. So, you know, it could look a variety of ways. So you all could, like, discuss that and make a recommendation to the council, and they would ultimately make that decision. But that's kind of where we're coming from. Yes.
Are you proposing that this change be made for all commissions?
Yes.
Everyone?
Yes.
I have a couple questions. Now that you realize you were wrong, you don't have to be a registered voter. All you need to be is able to be a registered voter, which means a legal citizen. Are you still concerned about that?
Yeah, so...
yes or no? That's all right.
Yes.
Okay. And two, who's going to crown Chula Vista a welcoming city? Who is
that? It's Welcoming America, so it's a certification that many cities have gone through. Like,
Who is it, though? Who's the...
The organization is Welcoming America.
Who are they?
It's an organization that has a long history of helping governments to be more thoughtful and more inclusive around immigrants.
Okay, great.
And we can provide more additional information about who the organization is. We've met with them.
We've met with them
several times. Their process, like I said, is rigorous. So it's it's everything from, like, how are we thinking about bringing immigrants into like small business owners, right? And when I talk about immigrant, it's like that whole window, right?
You want to improve the process. We've been bringing immigrants in for 200 plus years. It's not a problem. We do it quite well, better than anybody on earth, as a matter of fact. So you're looking to maybe improve it or improve upon it.
Right, and I think that's what I'm saying, right? That okay. It's about there are always ways that there's lots of things that we're already doing. On my way over here, I just read Chula Vista is number 2 in the nation for, it's the second in terms of welcoming immigrants. So if, you know, we're setting the standard in some ways.
again, according to whom, right?
Pardon?
According to whom?
Well, again, so part of the work that our commission is tasked with is to make sure that our commission is very diverse. We come from different, you know, very different spaces and kind of bring that insight. We're not doing it alone. Again, like this has been, we have the support of the organization, and we're not the only city that's become a welcoming city. It's become, there's lots of, you know, it started actually here, but now it's nationwide, and it's also international, right? Like, the organization has grown significantly because of the wanting to be more inclusive.
Is this change that important that the charter, which is the constitution for the city, should change? Is this really that important, where a change should be made to the charter?
Yeah, so because of the charter, the council can make a the council couldn't pass an ordinance that said, okay, we can open up the process for residents, right, or DACA students.
Yeah, but the charter does say that the council can appoint non-citizens, registered citizens to certain commissions.
So, but
you
again,
want to change this for all commissions? Every commission should be changed, not just the ones that are allowed in the charter?
This would be allowing folks to have access, right? Like, this is about giving residents of Chula Vista access to be part of the Chula Vista culture, and to also be part of what decisions and how the city makes decisions, right?
You
and
want non-citizens to be able to have input to the laws of Chula Vista?
Yes.
Non-citizens.
Yes, non-citizens, right, are also residents. So there are many residents.
Yeah, citizens of another country, and you want them to be allowed to make recommendations for laws in the United States and Chula Vista?
So I can tell you from my perspective, right, as a resident of this country for many years, I felt like and I would say that a lot of people, and I'll just give you my perspective, but I would say that this is my country, right? Like, this was also my country. This was, like, somewhere that I felt welcomed. And so I felt that if I go to school here, if I live here, if I'm building my family here, there are many folks that are residents and have been residents of this country for, 30, 50, 60 years. They never actually become citizens. And so...
Why not?
I can't answer that for them, but they are still contributing members to this community, and we think that we should be able to welcome them into our process. And it could be a financial reason, right? Like, to become a citizen, it's like $1,200 now. It's also a lot of low-income communities, right, can't afford that. And so it's really, again, it's about thinking about ways that we can open up and remove barriers to be fully integrated into our community.
Well, I think it's important to remember too that this is a recommendation they're making. We'll have to talk about it, deliberate, decide whether we take it exactly as recommended or whether we modify the recommendation in some way and then present it to City Council. So we're not necessarily bound to either take it or leave it. We can modify it or whatever as we deliberate. So, anybody else have any questions?
What's the actual process of removing a qualifier or a condition from the charter? Like, goes before us, we make a recommendation to the City Council. City Council votes on it, or do they take it to the electorate?
Like, go to the electorate.
Let's go to the electorate. So. But it would have to be initiated by the City Council to put it on the ballot, or...
Well, that's one way.
That's one way, okay.
Main way.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions?
And that's also a good point, right? Like, the fact that this is a charter change and that ultimately, like, you all, by deciding to... or making this recommendation to the council or adding language in... At the end of the day, it's just opening up the process and allowing like Chula Vista voters to decide whether or not they think that this is the right thing to do for the city. So also consider that.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Because we can tweak this, if we said we recommend allowing Chula Vista residents, regardless of immigration status, to be on commissions. We could also add time limits to that. In other words, you have to be a resident for X number of years. Would you support a time limit? Do you think time limits are counterintuitive? And if so, how many years?
Yeah, I mean, this would be something, I think part of what we told the staff was that our commission would want to be part of that process with you all. I don't want to speak for everybody on the commission. So I'm hesitant to even answer that. I obviously have like my own perspective, but if it would be okay with you, once you start having that discussion, to allow for other members of the commission. And there's other organizations that I currently work at the Center on Policy Initiatives, and we do a lot of work around boards and commissions and all across the region. And there's lots of data there that could be, you know, that could be helpful for you all in terms of that. So anyway, like there's yeah.
So that was a really political response. How many years do you think should be, if any?
I don't know. It could be 1 year. It could be 5 years.
Can it be one day?
That would be up to you all to decide.
I would also want to look into that question from a legal standpoint, because there are some limitations. I know with respect to people who are running for office, you can't impose more than a 30-day requirement on their pre-existing residency here. I don't know if we would run up against that with respect to our own boards and commissions, but I would want to look into that.
Jim, when I watched the part of the meeting that was held, where this was discussed at the end of the meeting, Glenn mentioned, and it's in the charter also, that there are certain commissions that can accept non-citizens. Do we have a list of those commissions?
It's not a list. What it says is that they can appoint them to regional or boards that deal with regional issues. So I'll just read the section to you. It's section 602D of the Charter. All members of boards and commissions shall be qualified electors in the city of Chula Vista, with the exception of youth commissioners, who need only be residents of the city. The city council may appoint non-electors of the city to those boards and commissions which are advisory only and whose duties involve regional issues.
What exactly does that mean?
So that would be more than just city-related issues. So it might deal with San Diego County, might deal, you know, issues that transcend just our city borders.
Which commissions might that be, as an example?
International relations, maybe? Did you say international relations?
Yeah, would that be one of them?
That would certainly apply beyond city borders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other examples.
Well, that is a city commission, so regional boards, I don't know if MTS, like, I don't know that MTS, but like those are regional boards, right?
So it's not, it doesn't say a regional board, it says a board or commission that deals with regional issues. So it would still be a city created board, but they're dealing with bigger issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
It'd be helpful, I guess, if we could get some kind of a better idea, more specific idea of which commissions might fall in that and which ones we would consider not to fall in that.
Yes, I agree with that.
So what I'm hearing is this condition of not having to be a legal resident is already existing.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Which
is why when I watched it on the tape of the meeting that about half of us were at, they sort of implied that that non-citizens can be on commissions. But they weren't quite sure which commissions, since it was vaguely written, which commissions could accept non-citizens. Mm-hmm. And I think to find out, as Brian said, which ones can and which ones cannot would be a good first step.
Yeah,
because it might make sense as to why some are allowed and some aren't.
Right. I mean, are some more important? Are some less important? Do they have different functions? Should the change be made for all commissions, or should we possibly discuss just broadening the ones that can accept it, but having certain ones that cannot. Since the recommendation of PS2 be changed for all.
Yeah.
Whether that's a reasonable idea, I don't know. I certainly would not vote for changing it for all. But I could conceivably vote, since it's in the charter now, to possibly make the exceptions larger based on what the commissions do.
Yeah, and that would be the other thing I'd be interested in knowing is which commissions, other than planning and charter, I'm not thinking of any others off the top of my head that tend to have more of a legislative or quasi-judicial aspect to them.
Civil service?
Compared to others. That would be an interesting list to get as well.
There is no definitive list today, correct?
There's
what I'm asking.
There isn't, so we'd have to come up with that.
Right, we'd have to at least find out which ones could accept based on the way the charter now is written. And which ones couldn't, since again it's sort of vague.
Yeah.
And even Glenn said at the meeting that it's sort of vague what this says here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can tighten it up.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But to just broaden it to everything, that I'll be very hesitant to vote for.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Is there any running commentary jurisprudence on the interpretation of that particular section of the charter? Or is it still left? It's just openly vague.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I could...
Maybe they did that on purpose. So it can just be brought before the city council and they could point them to whatever board they think is an advisory role. Maybe that's why it's so vague.
I was thinking that
30, 40
years ago, too.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too, but it seems maybe a little too
late. can I just say one thing? I hear what you all are saying. I think part of what, part of our work as a commission and part of the work that we've talked about with the city council is how are we being intentional about welcoming other, welcoming immigrants into our communities, right? So it's not just about I hear the legal interpretations and maybe we could make it work this way or another, but it's also about, for us, the important thing is about being really intentional about who and why we're bringing folks in, right? It's not just enough to say, oh, it could be interpreted this way or it could be, and I'm not a legal expert, but it does mean something for folks to feel, to acknowledge who we are and what we do, and feel like that is what's welcome, not just this big interpretation. So,
I think to respond to that, I think that's part of, I guess, our mandate is that we're, as a charter review commission, we have to look at the legalese and the interpretation of things, whereas your commission looks at the wider picture, right, so to speak, right? So that's why I think we're going into the minutia, is because eventually we're going to have to discuss how it could be justified legally and also appear, on the charter and what recommendations we're going to give to the city council. And so that's why I think we're dealing with that minutia right now. Not so much discounting what you've said, but I think that's primarily our focus, is looking at the charter itself.
Yeah, it's going to your commission, I would be concerned with what are you doing to help them become citizens? What are you doing to make it easier for them to become citizens? Invite them into the community, help them become a legal citizen. That's what I would want to see coming out of your commission.
Yeah, and we're actually...
It's all about earning it.
Yeah, there's lots of programs that...
okay, good.
There's lots of partnerships, right? There's citizenship workshops, there's the library hosts them, organizations, nonprofits do them all the time. They, help waive fees or make a payment plan for folks to be able to become citizens. So there are ways, but
good.
This is about other folks who don't have access to that, right? And
let's help them get that access. That's
pardon?
More. That's let's help them get that access. That's a lot more important in their life than trying to get on a commission.
And we might decide that maybe there's certain commissions that we should change the language for and not change the language for. I mean, for example, yours or the International Relations Commissions, those would be, those could be candidates for having non-electors be on those commissions. So, we'll look at all of that. In fact, if you have a list of those kinds of commissions, I'll bring it to them.
I can take that back to our commissioner.
Would you be opposed to having restrictions on some commissions but not on others?
I mean, having some is better than none, right? So I would say that any, like, progress is progress. And I'm mindful of that, right? But again, I don't want to speak for the commission, because they're like, we are all very invested into this, and so I want to be mindful about that. But I would say that progress is progress, right?
That's better than most politicians.
And I'm not a politician, nowadays. I'm a community organizer, but...
At least nowadays.
Yeah.
That's the way politics used to be.
All right, any other questions or comments? Any other discussion?
So if I can just summarize for the commission, what I'm hearing you would like me to do is to research these issues that we've talked about and come back at our next meeting?
Yeah, I in particular see two lists. One would be the commissions that meet that definition in that part of the charter, you know, in other words, that would fall under that categorization. And then the other one would be those that that have a legislative or quasi-judicial aspect to them, unlike the others.
Mm-hmm.
The Board of Appeals and Advisors.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? All right, so if there's no more discussion on that item, I guess we'll move on. Anything else? One going, gone? All right.
Thank you for coming out.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Staff comments.
I don't really have anything other than scheduling. So the discussion last month was that we won't have a December meeting, so we're coming back for our regular meeting second week of January, unless the commission has any other direction on that. Thank you.
Okay.
Good.
I don't have any particular comments other than, I guess, thanks for your comments for volunteering. I mean, your confidence in volunteering me last month. That's fine. I appreciate it.
No one else wanted the job.
I know. I figured. So I just need thank you.
You don't have to tell them that part.
Any commissioner comments?
So, I just kind of want to clarify more on this process. So when we meet next time is when we're going to discuss this and come up with whatever next meeting. We're not talking about it today.
Yeah, or at least start. Well, I mean, that's why I opened it for any additional discussion. But what
I
didn't
want to discuss it was her there, I guess.
She can be here every meeting.
Yeah,
it's probably.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, yeah. Right.
Gotta get used to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think we'll get the information, and then we'll have additional information to better inform some of our discussion. So the next meeting we'll have that information and we'll be able to discuss more fully. And I don't know if she'll come back or you know, bring any others with her or not, but it seems like you know, they have some ideas which we can consider, but again, we don't have to go, it's not either yes or no. It's we can take their suggestion and modify it in any way we think makes most sense, at least to us. The council may or may not disagree with us. They may agree with them. They may agree with us, or they may agree, decide something in between.
Okay.
So, but we'll get to make the recommendation we think is right.
Survey.
Based on the information we get. Yeah, survey says.
Well, I was actually thinking about that. You know, I mean, just like we had the for those different amendments or changes to the charter.
Uh-huh.
Why not have, you know, the comms person, forgot her name.
Probably isn't time.
And do another potential survey just to get like a temperature gauge on what the electorate is thinking about.
You'll find out when it's on the ballot.
In the minutes too, when they discuss it.
You know, since the council will probably put this on the, you know, ballot, no matter what we say here, since they brought it up.
But they may or may not, though. I mean, if we got a survey that, you know, 90% of the people said
yeah,
no,
yeah, but you
probably
know, there's
case.
What 20,000-30,000 people that can vote in 150 entered a survey.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of money to spend if the indications look like maybe it wouldn't pass. I don't know. You know, that'll be their decision.
Yeah, you have to remember though that this is something that the council has brought to us.
Yep.
So they have an interest in this.
Yep.
Well, two things. Maybe
okay.
The council
I'm
does
sorry.
Or does not.
Before
we
keep going, we closed the item. We had a member of public who left.
Yeah.
I don't
okay.
feel like we should table discussion until our next meeting.
Okay. Any other commissioner comments?
Sorry, I was late.
Yeah.
No problem. All right, did I meet your short meeting desire?
Yes.
All right.
Less than an hour is always good.
All right, thank you.